You wish to follow along, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Christ is a visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was ever created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him, and for him he existed before anything else. He holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault.
Colossians 1 that Josh read will be our passage that we will focus on in the lesson. We are thrilled you're here. Thank you for your presence. And we want to give Jesus first place in everything. And this section of Scripture talks about that and talks about how worthy he is. As we read this epistle, we are reading inspired words of Paul about Christ. At the same time, Colossians is an epistle where, in a sense, we're hearing one part of a phone conversation in trying to understand what Paul is talking about, who he is refuting. His words have power regardless, but they may have more power when we understand what was said. Writers on Colossians will speak of the Colossian heresy. But the number one way that Paul confronts the Colossian heresy is with an exalted view of Christ Jesus. Who is Jesus? Who is he? Why should he have first place in everything? Well, the text says in verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God. Do you remember in Matthew 22, when the Bible tells us the Pharisees and the chief priests came to Jesus, it was the Pharisees and Herodians who came to Jesus and said, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar?" And Jesus said, "Show me a coin." And he says, "Whose image is on it?" The word for image in Matthew 22:20 is the same word for image that's used here. It's a picture. It's a likeness. And Jesus is the image of the invisible God. That same language is used in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. He is the image of the invisible God. As we mentioned last week in John 14, 8 and 9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. He is the image of the invisible God. Christ is the image and nature of God. In Christ, the invisible God becomes visible. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Now, sometimes the word firstborn can mean simply to be born first. Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in cloths in Luke 2 and verse 7. But sometimes firstborn has a little different significance. I give you three passages in the Old Testament. Exodus 4:22, which speaks of Israel as the firstborn. And Jeremiah 31:9, which speaks of Ephraim being the firstborn. You remember, Ephraim and Manasseh were Joseph's sons. Which of those was born first? Manasseh was actually born first, but Jeremiah 31 verse 9 says Ephraim is firstborn. My point, sometimes this word may emphasize not birth order, but preeminence. Jesus' preeminence over all creation. The question comes, does this mean that Jesus is created or is he creator? Now, I ask you to look at your Bibles. Look at your Bibles in Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17. And I'm going to read another translation. And I want you to see if you can hear a word that has been added. Because by means of him, all other things were created in the heavens and on the earth. All other things have been created through him and for him. And he is before all other things, and by means of him, all other things were made to exist. Was there a word added to your translation? Did any of you have a translation that had the word other? Any of you? That is the New World Translation of the Jehovah's Witnesses. They gave it to me, a copy of that, years ago, very kind people, good friends, who were Jehovah's Witnesses, gave it to me. But they have added the word other in the text. And it changes the meaning, doesn't it? It changes the meaning. Was Christ created or was Christ creator? Well, when you read it in the New American Standard and several other versions, by him all things were created. There's an emphasis on the phrase all things in verse 16 and 17. It's used four times. But you see, if you don't believe that Jesus was fully God, you have to add the word other, because you would regard Jesus as created. But it's not there. For by him all things were created. Now, that all things is pretty comprehensive, because it includes things visible and invisible, and things in heaven or on earth. That includes, if you think about it, most things. It's hard to find something that isn't either visible or invisible, or in heaven or on earth. All things were created by him. All things were created through him and for him. Is Christ the creator, or is Christ created himself? Well, this tells us whatever is meant by the firstborn of all creation, it doesn't mean he is a created being. It means he is creator. He has preeminence. He has preeminence over all of creation, because all all things were created by him, all things were created through him, and all things were created for him. Those prepositions are interesting too. Christ is the source of creation, and Christ is the goal of creation. It was through him, and it is for him. If we write the story of human history, if we write it properly, Christ is the first line, Christ is the last line, and Christ is the main theme all the way through. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, he is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. He is the power sustaining our universe. In Hebrews 1 and verse 3, listen to these words. He is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. He upholds all things by the word of his power. In the language of Colossians 1 and verse 17, in him all things hold together. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 7, by his word the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire. The point is, Jesus created and he holds it together. God didn't create and let the world go. He sustains it every day in every way. Why was this a big deal? You notice that among those things Christ created were thrones, dominions, rulers, and authorities in verse 16. Those thrones, dominions, rulers, and authorities may refer to some kind of angelic hierarchy. And remember, in Colossians 2:18, some of the people worshiped angels. They worshiped angelic beings. But Christ created them. Why worship angels when you could worship the one who created the angels? And some were saying Christ alone is not a sufficient mediator for God. You need to go through all these thrones and dominions and rulers and authorities. But Colossians 2 verses 9 and 10, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete. He is the head over all rule and authority. Christ is adequate for your spiritual needs. Christ is adequate for your emotional needs. Christ is adequate for your physical needs. Christ is adequate. By him all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, thrones and dominions and rulers and authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now I want you to notice the beauty of this passage. The beauty of this passage, for Colossians 1, 15 through 17 describe Christ and his role in creation. And Colossians 1, beginning with verse 18, we see describe Christ in his role in redemption. In both passages, he is spoken of as firstborn. He is the firstborn of all creation. In verse 15, he is the firstborn of the dead or from the dead. In verse 18. So Christ is firstborn of all creation, and the one who is creator of all is also redeemer of all. And the same three prepositions that are used in Colossians 1:16 and translated by him and through him and for him, those same three prepositions are used in verses 19 and 20 and translated in him and through him and to himself in the New American Standard. Same prepositions describe him in creation and him in redemption. And just as Christ created all things in verses 16 and 17 said four times. In verse 20, he reconciled all things. In verse 16, he created all things in heaven and on earth. And in verse 20, he made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. What Christ has done in creation, Christ is doing in redemption, in salvation. And just as all things, all creation holds together in him, he holds it all together, so he holds the body, the church, the people of God together. He is the head of the church, the body. The body is completely dependent upon him as the head. We mentioned something recently. I want to say just briefly again here. In Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, there's emphasis on the church as the body. But in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, the emphasis is on how we are members of one another and our care for one another. In Ephesians and Colossians, Christ is the head of the body. The emphasis is more on our absolute dependence and total reliance upon Jesus. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. He is the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. In Revelation 22:13, he is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is the head of the body, the church, the firstborn from the dead. Revelation 1:5 also describes Jesus this way, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. What should this passage do to us? How should this sermon affect us? How should worship affect us? He himself comes to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure that in him all the fullness would dwell. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things in heaven or things on earth. A lot of times, I've heard people talk about this passage, and they talk about Colossians 1:15 through 20, and I understand why. I understand why they'll stop there. But verses 21 and 22 expand on this idea a little bit. And I thought it best to include them in this passage. I think verse 22 is particularly, verse 21 is particularly striking. When it says, although you formerly were alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. And we have been reconciled through His blood, through His death. This is what I want to stress. Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. All things were created by Him, through Him, and for Him. And He is the one who is creator of all. Made peace, reconciled us through the blood of the cross. The word reconcile means, carries with it the idea of making friends again. Let me give you a very earthly and yet biblical illustration of this word alienation and reconciliation. Alienated, two parties are separated from each other. Reconciled, they're brought together. In 1 Corinthians 7, verses 10 and 11, Paul is talking about the subject of marriage to a person who is an unbeliever. And in verse 10, to the married I give instructions. Now we're using this as an illustration today and not trying to cover all the limits of this. But in 1 Corinthians 7, 10 and 11, to the married I give instructions, not I but the Lord, that the wife should not leave her husband. But if she does leave, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. Okay, the husband and wife are alienated from each other. They're separated from each other. But to be reconciled, they are brought back together. Now that little illustration, a biblical illustration, an illustration we've all seen worked out in life, that illustration is a picture of God and humanity. Christ is creator. Christ is creator. But Christ has become alienated from His creation. He has become alienated from man. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit who spoke our world into existence have been alienated from those that we made. Now, let me ask you a question. In that alienation, whose fault is it? Is it God? Is it Christ? Is it the Spirit? Is it their fault? Or is it our fault? Colossians 1:21, you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. The alienation was 100%, no if, ands, and buts about it. It's our fault. But the one who created all things created through Him, and for him. Salt to bring us together. He sought to bring us together. And how does he do that? Colossians 1 verse 20. Through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. In verse 22, and yet now he has reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. He made peace through the blood of his cross, the blood of his cross, verse 20, and through his death in verse 22. And therefore, those who were alienated, who were separated, can be brought together by the fact that through his blood, he made peace. And through his death, he provided forgiveness. He is also the one who died, is the one who raised. These truths are profound beyond my ability to relate adequately. But I hope you're pondering them. I hope you're thinking about them. All things were created by him. The one who was responsible for everything we see around us, and the one who is responsible for upholding it and sustaining it and making it work. The one who does all of this was alienated from us. And it was our fault. 100%. And yet, the Creator enters our world. The Creator, the Sustainer, has sought to redeem us no matter what the cost. No matter what the cost. Sometimes I've had people say, and I've probably shared this with you before, I love you. And I'm hesitant to reply. Not because I've ever disliked anybody who ever said that to me. But because we see in Jesus what love demands. No greater love has a man than this, but to lay down his life for his friends. He was determined to redeem us, no matter what the cost. And the one who created all things, the one who created the tree, came to be crucified on the tree that he had made. The one who created man and spoke him into existence came to be rejected by man, to be spit upon by man, to be slapped by man. He determined to redeem us at a terrible cost to himself. And he is adequate as a mediator between us and God
And through him,
verse 22 says, we can be holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Let me mention something quickly to you. And if you have questions about this or want to write these verses down, feel free to ask more afterwards. Verse 21, although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, verse 21 basically summarizes Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. Verse 22, yet now he has reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, summarizes Ephesians 2, verses 14 through 18. Ephesians 2, 14 through 18. And the last phrase of verse 22, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, basically summarizes Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. The point is that we can be holy, blameless, beyond reproach. The point is that through his death and through his resurrection from the dead, Christ can forgive us of our sins, make peace between us and our God, make peace between us. He can forgive us, he can cleanse us, he can wash us free of every stain, present us holy and blameless and without reproach. The one who is sufficient and adequate and above adequate to create and sustain all, can forgive and cleanse all. Look at who he is. Look at what he has done. Now, if you need more instruction on what I'm about to say, you feel free to ask afterwards. We're not going to be put off by that. We're going to be glad to talk to you about it. But you know what I hope? If you are listening and you would view yourself as questioning Christ or maybe just starting to know about him but not really a believer, I hope where this leads you is where it led somebody in the New Testament. To say, here is water, what hinders me from being baptized? If we can help you with that or any spiritual needs to which we can point you to Christ, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.